stand and join me for the call to worship? It is good to give thanks to you, O God.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning.
For you have made us glad by your work.
At the work of your hands, we sing for joy.
We give praise and thanks to our God.
Who delivers us from futility and from darkened understanding.
Who is our hope in hard times.
Our mighty and everlasting.
Who is our joy to please?
And our salvation every day.
Come, let us worship our God.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Southside Baptist Church. It is good to see all of you, and we're excited that you're here. To our members, it is always good to see you. I know a number of you have been here for the time of gathering as well as a time of study this morning. But to those of you who we haven't had a chance to welcome and to greet, we are excited that you're here as well. And especially to our visitors who may be here for the first time or may be visiting for a repeat time, we're excited to see you as well. If you would notice in your bulletin, there is an insert, and on that you can record some information that will allow us to learn a little bit more about you and to figure out some ways in which we might help serve you or help to allow you to serve others. And we'd love to have that opportunity, and we hope to see you again. So welcome to our guests, to our members as well. Today is a very special day at Southside because we have the privilege of honoring a few of our most faithful members. So Timothy and Abby, if y'all would come forward at this time. Over the past several months, Timothy and Abby have been participating in the God in Me program through the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America. And what the God in Me program does is it encourages young people to develop and affirm their relationship with God. And so for the past 2 months, Timothy and Abby have been arriving here at Southside long before worship and long before Sunday school and long before the gathering at 8 o'clock in the morning to learn about God, to do some activities, to write some songs, and to learn how they can develop their own relationship with God, but also how they can share that relationship with others. And so today we have the special opportunity to recognize and celebrate that. And so Timothy and Abby, if you would, Miss Bonnie over here has your certificates as well as a patch and a medallion for you all. The medallions that they're being presented with, it has four colors on it, as you will see. Each color represents what you learned during your God in Me program. That is, that God is the creator, that God is our friend, that God is the giver of all good things, and that God is with us. And you'll notice also in the middle of this emblem, the cross, and that is emblematic of the fact that Christ is to be at the center of our lives, and that as we remember that God is our friend, we are reminded that that friendship extended to the person of Jesus, and that Jesus is never far away. He is always there to listen to us when we call upon him. And so we're proud of you all, and in just a moment, I'm going to ask that the congregation join me in the unison prayer that is inserted in your bulletins. So if you would get that out, we're going to offer that prayer on behalf of these two. But before we do that, I just want to say, Abby and Timothy, it was a real delight for me to be able to do this with you all, and I hope that you know how special you are to this church here, and that as we see you and the dedication that you have to this program and to this church, as we see you faithfully attending and being a part of this community, it encourages us to be better Christians as well. So thank you all for that. We're proud of you, and congratulations on your achievement. So if the congregation would join me now, there is a unison prayer at the top of your insert, and we will offer that now. Lord, your Son has called all of us into the adventures of learning and serving. Today, we celebrate those who have answered that call in a special way. We thank you for Abby and Timothy for this moment of joyous celebration. Continue to challenge all of us to grow in Christian service, that your kingdom may become a reality in and through our lives. Amen. Thank you all.
This morning's first reading will come from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Our second reading for today is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Seated. Well, good morning. Are y'all looking forward to being out of school this week? You have 2 days of school? Oh, I see. But Abby, you don't? You're out? Reader, you're out? Okay. Is there some reason you're out? Is it special? Thanksgiving. Okay. Look up here on the table. Do you see anything that's special there? The thing holding the flowers. That's, yeah? It's a strange looking vase, isn't it?
They used it.
Is it a vase?
No, they used it like a doll.
It's got a funny name, doesn't it? We call that a cornucopia because of all the things that are there, the way it's arranged and what's in it. But look at all. What do you see here? Come up, come around the table and look and tell me what you see. What all is there?
Thanksgiving.
It represents Thanksgiving. And when we think about Thanksgiving and think about celebration, is it, I know you've studied this in school about Thanksgiving that developed here.
Pilgrims and Indians.
And then how it was. And an apple too, didn't you, Millicent? You found an apple. We'll put it back and leave it there. We had on one occasion a person who walked through here and grabbed an apple and ate it right here in front of the table. So we'll leave that one right now, okay? I think one of them's already gone. But anyway.
Here's another one.
Yeah, there's another one there, okay. Well, look,
tell me what you think about Thanksgiving and why it's important for us as Christians to celebrate that. Where does everything that you have come from?
The land.
It comes from the land, but who created all of that?
God.
God. And God sends water and sunshine and all those things that enriches the soil and enables it to grow. Squanto taught the pilgrims how to cook.
The Mayflower across the ocean to get to America.
So you all know all about it. I can tell you do. And whenever we think about Thanksgiving, the reason we want to celebrate it is that we want to give thanks to God for all God has done and is doing, but also for who God is, because God loves us and cares for us.
Is that lettuce?
That's the cabbage, I think. Feels so funny. I don't think Mr. Jim's here, so he won't notice that y'all are changing up his arrangement here. But let's do this. I want you to think of one thing that each of you could maybe say you'd like to give thanks for. Abby?
God.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to give thanks for?
My parents.
Your parents? Nelson? Anything?
Pilgrims.
How about that pretty dress?
Food.
Water. Horses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's offer a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to, when I finish, I want you to offer that amen with me, okay? Loving Lord, we thank you for these children, but also for this special holiday that we celebrate. What a reminder that everything does come from you, even life itself. Bless these children. And may we continue to walk and teach them and guide them as they also teach us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Would you all please bow with me as we offer the prayers of the people. Dear Heavenly Father, we have all joined together in this place at this time, as you have called us. We love our family here at Southside, and we thank you for this gift of a family that is united in you. And as an expression of your love and mercy, we exist to love and serve one another and to share that love with all whom we might encounter. As we gather here, we turn to the one who brings us together and ask that you would come and be near to us. We come to you with gratitude and thanksgiving on this day, but also with the worries and concerns, burdens and sorrows that we possess as well. All of this we bring to you, knowing that you will incline your ear to our prayers. For those areas in this world where the threat of danger and violence is ever present, we pray for your protection. For those in our own community who have experienced loss, we pray for your restoration. For those who are sick, we pray for your healing. And for those who feel alone or isolated or afraid, we pray for your presence and your comfort. Above all else, Lord, we pray that you would be near to us. In sickness and in health, in poverty or wealth, youth, adulthood, or old age, we ask that we might ever experience the friendship and love of a Creator who loved His creation so much that He became a part of it. Hear our prayers as we bring them before you, and as we pray the very words that you taught us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. If you came here today expecting to see Dr. Roxburgh preaching, I'm sorry. It was something that was planned. I did joke with him about, well, you get installed as preacher teacher 1 week, and the next week you're out. So, but he is, of course, his full-time job is at Safford as he teaches there. And they are on holiday for Thanksgiving this week. So he is out and traveling with his wife as they go about the country, seeing something new each fall break. So today as we gather, he is with us in spirit. I can grant you that. And also for both of us to say this, it was a wonderful experience last week as we celebrated in worship and had the service of installation, and were able to participate in that, and a sense of excitement, enthusiasm, and optimism that all of you conveyed, and the fact that you were here and present, and spoke such kind words, encouraging words. All of that said, we are gathered here on a day that precedes a holiday, Thanksgiving. And as we shared with the children here and were able to see and with Timothy and Abby as they came, that there's much to be thankful for, and I'm sure that you're already preparing for Thanksgiving, all that you're going to do. Things that you are required to do, things that you must do. But honestly, there are some times that Thanksgiving begins to be a sort of heavy burden on a lot of folks. And we wonder about this year's. What's it going to be like? What will it turn out to be? As I was preparing for this today and thinking about what I might say today about Thanksgiving especially, I came across some words in which a person expressed some of the things they were thankful for. And I shared some of these with the Bible study at the Greenbrier this week as I was there with them on Thursday, but not all of them. So I hope that you hear these with a sense of thinking about and letting these words sink in and give consideration of what this person was truly expressing. He said, "I'm thankful for the mess to clean up after a party because it means I have been surrounded by friends. The taxes I pay because it means that I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snugly because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means that I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means that I am capable of walking. All the complaining I hear about government because it means we have freedom of speech. My huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. The lady behind me at church who sings off key because it means I can hear. There's no one specifically that's speaking of. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. Weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I have been productive. And lastly, the alarm that goes off in the early morning because it means that I'm alive." You know, the person that wrote these found reason to give thanks for things which we might not often give thanks for. In fact, we might complain about them. He was able to see in the routine of life some reminders that direct us back toward giving thanks for that which is truly important. He sees beyond that which is just on the surface to things that really have meaning, which are not of just a temporal nature, but are rooted in and have meaning because all of those were in some sort of relationship. Even the one that I think he must have been following me around about, a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. All this in the context of family, of living, of relating to other people. So because of all of that, as we ponder those and think about them, it, in and of themselves, they give rise to a life that's characterized by gratitude. And the Apostle Paul said that in writing to the Thessalonians, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I have a real hard time with that when someone is really suffering, and I read that and say, in all circumstances, this is God's will, in all circumstances. He causes us to pause and to think about what Thanksgiving is all about, where we find the true meaning that we derive and what we offer thanks for. Yes, God is with us in all things, and certainly in those things, that even those things that are not things that we enjoy, but are things that we deal with because we live. It is quite easy for us to succumb to the temptation, I think, of looking at those things that are the usual holiday fare. We think about the gathering around a table and a lot of food to eat, and oftentimes rarely any word is mentioned about giving thanks to God who has provided all of that. Or maybe there's a little brief prayer that's offered, but it's typically not with great insight and great depth of understanding that our very being, our experience in life, is only really possible in the fullness and the abundant way that Christ intended if we are rooted in a deep faith and understanding of who God is and how God seeks to relate to us. You know, I use this, I think, some time back, but it is directly to the point about the deep theological insight of Lucy from the Peanuts comic strip. And this particular one, she is really, really down. She's down in the dump. She is having her own pity party. She really is struggling, and Linus comes to her. And as he does, she says, you know, my life is such a drag. I am completely fed up with it. I don't like it. I've never felt so low in my life. It's horrible. And he says to her what many of you might say to friends like that. And he says, or sister, when you're in a mood like this, you should think of things you have to be thankful for. In other words, count your blessings. Now, sometimes that works with folks, sometimes it does not, because they are not ready to hear that when you say that in the depths of their despair. But what we do hear is Lucy says to him the same kind of response you might receive. Now that's a good one. I can count my blessings on one finger. I never have anything go right for me. I never will have anything go right for me. I don't get half the breaks everyone else gets. Nothing goes right for me. And you're talking about counting my blessings. You talk about being thankful. What do I have to be thankful for? Now, we think about Lucy, and then Linus cuts straight to the heart of the matter. He says, well, that may be true, but there's one thing you do have, and that is a brother that loves you. And, of course, in the comic strip, Lucy runs to him and hugs him and is grateful for that. Now, that may not be what you experience. You may not have found that, but it is a call to us to look and to reflect upon the deeper meaning of what Thanksgiving is all about. Sometimes we approach all of life as Lucy did. What's God done for me lately? Why is someone else getting all the breaks? Nothing seems to go right. In Psalm 100 that we read earlier, we hear a series of seven verbs that describe really what Thanksgiving is all about. Because in reading these and understanding what they mean, we hear the essence of gratitude. It's a natural progression. For we hear these words of shout, of worship, of come, of know, of enter, to give thanks and to praise. The same things we've done here, hopefully. We've come into this house with songs of praise and thanksgiving. We've entered into a time of worship. But this particular poem is balanced on each side by one word in the middle, the fourth of those, which is no. In the context of the psalm, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." And then this pivotal verse, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." All of these express an aspect of worship, each of them. But because of that, if we look to that in depth and we see those words about know, we understand the definition of the word, that it means to have that direct cognitive recognition of that, to have an understanding of what it means. To recognize the nature. From the very beginning of creation, humankind has always struggled with this, and struggled with it mightily, because we want to know God in a way that puts us either equivalent to or above. Our ego gets in the way. We try to invert this truth. We try to turn it upside down, and we want to think of what God might be doing for us rather than to know God in the sense that God has made us and we are his, the sheep of his pasture. We're to give thanks. And so in that, we find the true meaning of what it means to be to have gratitude, to be thankful, to enter into a place of worship with gratitude. This psalm that we read is one that leads us to a greater understanding and depth of what the truth is about living life daily, celebrating on Thanksgiving, sharing with family and friends, going about our daily routine and understanding that we can live in the life that we have been granted, and as we live, we can have life that's abundant and free in him. The second passage we read dealt with the worry part of life. And I know none of you ever worry about anything, but some of you, even as we've talked, have been worried about how you're going to get everything done before Thanksgiving. Where's the food going to come from? Or who are you going to call? Or what's going to happen if something doesn't go right? Or if I forget something, what's going to happen? It's going to ruin everything. Really, what the words mean in that Matthew passage is, don't be so preoccupied. Don't be absorbed by those things that will cause you to be distracted and focus on those things that are temporal in nature and miss those things that are truly important. You know, I think this year for me, thinking about Thanksgiving, has been more difficult than others, maybe because of all the events that have occurred worldwide, causing us to think about what's going on and what the future will hold for so many people. Several years ago, there was a student here who came from a neighboring state. He was here in school, and he had a real difficult time managing everything he had on his plate. He eventually sort of had a meltdown. It was not a severe, it wasn't an emotional breakdown or mental breakdown, but it was where he just had to check out for a little bit. And I went to him and talked to him at the place that he had gone to, the home of a friend. And he said, "You know, my whole life has been so easy. And these folks that have taken me in, their life has been so hard. And I don't know how to give thanks for all that God has done for me in light of how easy my life has been. The good news about Thanksgiving is that we're redeemed, or we're brought into the family of God, not just for our own salvation, but that we might be blessings to other people, to interact with others, and to give cause for others to be thankful as well. As I said, this year has been more difficult. I think it has for many of us. We think about the violence. We think about the tens of thousands of refugees. We think about widows and orphans. We think about those who are struggling with widespread disease, those who have no home, those who do not have clean drinking water. And yet we find a way to gather around a table in a Norman Rockwell kind of image and give thanks for what God has done for us. There seems to be a little bit of incongruence there. What does it mean for us? You know, St. Basil had said that if everyone in the world, and this was centuries ago, if everyone in the world would only take what they need and leave the excess for others to take, everyone would have plenty. Now, I know it's a matter of economy, of getting things to places and all of those things, but the reality is God has blessed the world with enough for everybody. And if we trust that, it makes it so much easier to know that in the last verses of this psalm, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Hebrew, that really meant it had no clock on it. It meant forever. It was time. It was not marked by any increments of time other than to say that as long as there was existence, this is the way God is. How do we offer thanks when we have so much and there are those that have so little, and yet we worry about having more? Jesus did tell us that the poor would always be with us. We know that. He also told us that we are to look at those around us, and as we have been blessed, to use those resources we have been blessed with to help other people. We are saved not just for our own soul, but for the souls of many, and for the well-being of many, so that in our efforts to learn and to follow, that we will have that deep, seated drive, that motivation to know that as God has blessed me with knowing God, then knowing God means not only sitting and reveling in that knowledge, but also taking that knowledge and knowing that God desires it to be used for the good of others. So give thanks. The good news is we can give thanks for all that God has done. We can give thanks for the fact that we have this beautiful place to worship. We can give thanks that we're warm today. We can give thanks that we have friends gathered here. We can give thanks for all those things that we do enjoy. And we should give thanks for them. But also to give thanks to God that with all of those things, we're also given that opportunity to engage in God's ministry to all of his people, to all of his children, wherever they might be. To be a thankful people is to be moved to generosity because Christ has called us. Let's bow together. Oh Lord, for all of your blessings, we give you thanks. We thank you that we can call upon you and know that you hear us. And we also know that as we listen, that you speak to us in ways that sometimes makes us uncomfortable, because it challenges us. You challenge us to move off point and to do the things you've called us to do. Give us the courage, O Lord. Give us a desire that we may be found faithful. In your name I pray. Amen. Today, as we conclude our time of worship, we have a hymn of dedication. It's a time for us to offer our whole lives, our whole beings to God. A hymn of promise, acknowledging that all we have comes from God, acknowledging that all we are comes from God. To respond in committing our lives, whether it be a public profession of faith in Christ, if you've never followed and accepted Him, or whether it be to come and make a commitment that you will follow earnestly, or to be a part of this family of faith here, you're invited to come as we sing. God has blessed us richly. May we respond with this hymn, in this hymn of promise.
Excuse me. Please pray with me. And as we pray, give each of us a thankful heart. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you have created for us. We are surrounded by your beauty and by your love. Thank you for all the blessings we receive today and every day. We are so richly blessed. You have given each of us amazing gifts and talents, and may we use them to better your kingdom here on earth. Let us lift our voice in praise and song and use our bodies to do your service. Let us spend time alone with you each day that we may discern your will for us, and we pray that we will follow your guidance. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, grace, and unending love. May we show the same to our fellow man. And may these offerings that we freely give be used to better your kingdom and bring hope and peace to a hurting world. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Take your seat for just a moment, please. If you look on the back of the bulletin today for those activities that are available to all to participate, both our guests and members alike, and we want you to know, those who are guests, that we invite you to any and all of those. They're a way that you can get to know people here at the church, but also to be involved in doing God's, to engage your own life in the life and work of the church, of God's kingdom's work here, by using your talents. The one thing in particular I wanted to call to your attention is on Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. we have the food bank client, where we distribute the turkeys to those who are our food bank clients, and that's always an annual event that we do that Tuesday morning closest to Thanksgiving. And then at noon that day we are hosting the Five Points Thanksgiving Community Thanksgiving service. This is a part of the Southside Faith Communities. All of those that are affiliated with the Southside area, the Jewish synagogue, as well as the Greek Orthodox Church will be participating, and then others that are the other churches that we typically have engaged in those activities with also. They'll be here. And after that time of worship for this community service, there will be a lunch, a free lunch downstairs that is provided by Bridge Ministries that's located here in the building as well, but they are also supported by almost all of those congregations that I have just that I made reference to. And they do direct assistance to many people throughout the city, especially those in the Five Points and Southside area. So take notice of that and be a part of that. For those who are guests, if you didn't have a chance to fill out the guest registration slip, I hope that you will before you leave. And you'll also, the back side of that, you won't be able to take it with you because we want you to leave that slip. You'll see an announcement about the community Thanksgiving service on the back side. So as we prepare to go out, it's a week of Thanksgiving. If you would please stand as we prepare to go out and know this, that we have many opportunities. We'll be with family, we'll celebrate, we'll give thanks, but also look for those ways that you might also engage in being blessings to those that you encounter day by day. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ our Savior, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you now and forevermore.